You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. I do have an idea of what I'm going to share here, so in case you're wondering. Ecclesiastes, let's just turn over to the 12th chapter. Ecclesiastes 12. You know, I started in Ecclesiastes actually Wednesday night. Was on another chapter talking about we were made for each other. You know, you often hear that term, they were made for each other. Well, actually, we were made for each other. Amen. That's what God made us for. God did not make you for yourself. He made you for each other. That's why you find your fulfillment, find your destiny, find your purpose in life when you get in amongst people. And spiritually speaking, when you get in church, you get involved in church. God didn't call any lone rangers into this thing. We're not mavericks and lone rangers. We're called to a body, called to a people, called to a family, called to a church. And you can live, of course, outside of church. You can live by yourself, isolated from everybody else. But that tends to be the tendency when you're not right. You ever notice when you're really depressed, you want to get in a closet, something, you don't even want to talk to anybody. Now, that's the extreme of that. But in some ways, subtle ways, we often isolate ourselves from other people in our lives. And you know what we miss out on? We miss out on growing up. We miss out on spiritual maturity. We miss out on our destiny and our purpose. There is no one any happier, any more fulfilled than people that are helping people. There's nothing more fulfilling in your life when you're helping somebody. You know, when you're around people, when you're doing things to help, praying for people, involved in people's lives. And of course, you know, we can just isolate that down to the body of Christ. You know, there's nothing better than the family of God. And we love the world. We're praying for the world. We're witnessing to the world. But our fellowship is with each other. We grow and we mature when we get around each other. Iron sharpens iron. Proverbs tells us, and the countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. Amen. You know, God forbid we just go through life without friends. What that's telling us, if iron sharpens iron, and the countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend, that tells us without friends, we're kind of dull. Yeah. You just picture it. Think about it. And we're trying to plow through. A lot of times we're trying to make it, see, by ourselves, without anybody, without fellowship, without church. And we're having to work real hard at it. I mean, we're having to work real hard at it because the axe is dull. Isn't that right? Amen. And so, in fact, you know, hold your place there. Turn to the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. You're right there in Ecclesiastes. Just back up a couple chapters. Wasn't planning on saying this. This is good. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just bragging on the Word here. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10, notice what it says. This is a New King James Version. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Well, I ain't got time to go to church. I ain't got time to hang around anybody. I'm too busy. Well, that's like a guy out in the woods who hasn't got time to sharpen his axe. I'm too busy cutting trees. I can't stop and sharpen his axe. And he's just putting dents in trees. Yeah. I'm working too hard. I don't have any time. I've got to get these trees cut. Yeah, but the problem is you're not getting any trees cut. You're not doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything because that axe is so dull. If you don't stop and sharpen that saw, that's right, then you can work, but you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to use more strength. And you're not going to get near as much accomplished. So how do we stay sharp? Well, we stay sharp by being around each other. I'm a better person because of you. Y'all have just made me a great fella. Well, no, whatever I am, I'm a product of being around a lot of people. Whatever you are to good, really, is you picked up from being around people. Now, that can work in reverse. You can get around the wrong people and pick up the wrong things. But we were called to a body. We were called to belong. We were not called to be alone. We're not called to be isolated. We can exist and survive that way. But I know and you know the happiest, joyful people that I know of are people that are involved with other people. Families that are involved with each other. Families that are not involved with each other, mad at each other, upset with each other, they're miserable. They're not happy because we're called to be with each other. We're called to work with each other. We're called to grow together. Hallelujah. Okay, Ecclesiastes. Y'all found it? You're already there. Yeah, we went to the 10th chapter. Look at the 12th chapter. Now, this is a familiar verse. In fact, I was just talking to this. Mike and I were talking this week, and this verse came up in another subject. But in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of man or man's all. Really, what's my purpose? It's to fear God and to keep His commandments. Now, that's just kind of an outline. That doesn't really give us a lot of detail. That's just a general outline. Okay, I need to fear God and keep His commandments. Or I need to fear God and stay right, stay holy. But really, it's more than that. Because if you look at the commandments always involve other people. See, we had the idea. There was this thing going on years ago where the monks would get off into the monasteries and isolate themselves and get out of society and out of humanity. And a lot of this is Eastern teaching, you know, that if you get amongst people, you're going to get ruined and spoilt and tainted. Hello. But really, God called us to humanity. He called us to society. He called us to family. He called us to a body. He called us together. And the commandments, if you want to look at the commandments, they have to do with people. I mean, I'm just thinking about this. Fear God and keep His commandments. You all see that? That's pretty plain. What's the whole conclusion? What's the whole duty? What's your purpose? Well, we ought to honor God, fear God, and we ought to keep His commandments. Why is that? What's the point of it all? Because God knows that's the best thing for us. That's going to complete us. That's going to fulfill us. When we break the commandments, we ruin ourselves. And we ruin relationships with people. Isn't that right? I mean, anytime you've ever messed up or ruined a relationship, you probably broke a commandment. Somewhere down the line, you missed it. You broke it. Why? What happened? Why is God got all these rules? Rules are good things. That's why rules help us. So I don't believe in any rules. Well, I thank God. I hope you keep the highway laws when you get out on the highway. I hope you do. Speed limits, stop signs, green lights, red. You understand all that, don't you? Because this could be a death trap out here. This highway, this ribbon of asphalt out here could actually kill you. It's meant to be a blessing. But it only is a blessing when we keep the rules. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I mean, you do know what side of the road to drive on, don't you? Man, I was in Australia one time. Brennan and Amanda could testify to this because Amanda went with us on this trip. And, of course, I rented a car, you know, and it takes forever to start to get used to getting in on the right side of the car because, you know, I mean, I used to naturally just open the door and step in the passenger. There's no steering wheel. Oh, wow. So, you know, got to go around the other side and get in the other side. And it takes a long time to get used to that. So you finally get used to that. Then you get out on the road. Your steering wheel's on the wrong side. Well, now you're driving on the wrong side of the road. Bobby David lived in Australia. Great Britain's the same way. But I remember I was going down to, we were going down to Jerseyville's Heritage of Faith. Jerseyville's International Ministries there. And we were ministering in a church down there, Heritage of Faith Christian Church. And so we were going down to, it's called Miami Beach. It's on the Gold Coast. Oh, yes, the Gold Coast. That sounds good, doesn't it? So I was driving down through there. I was looking at directions, trying to find the place, going through these streets. And, boy, I got to an intersection, and I went the wrong way. Just crossing an intersection, naturally, you would take a right here. But you have to cross over and take a right over there. Are you with me? And so I was turning left. So when you take a left, you take an immediate left. You don't cross over and take a left because you're on the opposite side of the road. Have I lost you or are you still with me? Believe me, you'd wake up if you'd been in the car with me. Because I took my left on the other side of the road, not on this side of the road. And I mean, they were coming fast and furious. And Amanda and Brenda were ready to come back to the United States of America. But anyway... I mean, I jumped the median, got back over on the... got back over on the wrong side of the right road. You know, that's everything's backwards there. But, you know, Australia's a fine place to be if you know the rules. Those roads are wonderful. They get you from one place to another. But the rules have to be obeyed. Because what is meant to be a blessing becomes a death trap when you disobey. And so when you think about the laws of God, the rules of God, all they boil down to is God's just trying to help us. That's all in the world He's trying to do. That's why David said, I delight greatly in Thy commandments. He says they're sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. The reason was, with the rules, with the commandments, He knew how to have good relationships. He knew how to be happy. He knew how to be fulfilled in life. And we try to make it on our own and disobey the laws and the rules, we always wind up getting hurt. try to go our own way, try to be self-centered and selfish. You know what? You grow up and you're miserable. You cut yourself off from everybody. You have no friends. Your relatives don't want to be around you. And you die just a miserable, old, you know, senile, mean person. Most people that are mean when they're old worked on that. Okay? Most of them practiced and practiced and got real good at it. I know some people that are very good at it. But I know some people that got sweeter and sweeter too, you know, because they worked on that. Because we're always becoming something little by little. We're on a road. And if we stay on it, we'll get closer and closer to that thing we're becoming. Hallelujah. So if we'll keep God's His commandments now, and back to the point I'm making here, I think I had a point. The commandments involve other people. They always involve other people. And that's why we have so many commandments. If it was just me and nobody else, who cares what happens? But see, it's never just me. And the things I do never just affect me. My life always affects other people. I mean, I look up to people, people look up to me. You know, I may think I'm the only person in the world, but I'm all the world to some person. And every one of us affects other people's lives. And when I'm thinking about the commandments, you know, it's real simple. The first four commandments, of course, had to do with God. It's more vertical. You know, thou shalt have no other gods before you. He is the only God. And the second commandment is don't make idols. You know, thou shalt not make any graven image of anything to fall down and worship it. The third is to not take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, not to quit cussing. Okay. Not take the name of the Lord in vain. Of course, it's broader than that. But then the fourth one is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And this is interesting to me because the fourth one, there's a little bit of a transition in that fourth one. The first three, blatantly, obviously, your faith in God, your trust in Him as the only one true God, your worship of Him and not making any other idols, your keeping your mouth straight concerning Him, not to take His name in vain. And then fourthly, we want to worship Him, but all of a sudden now we connect with other people because remember the Sabbath and keep it holy really is us getting together with people to honor God. So if we're going to honor God, we've got to do it with people. We're not honoring God by just serving Him by ourselves. We honor God when we serve Him with other people. Does that make sense? So then the transition starts. And when it goes from that fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. The fifth one is honor your mother and father. Now we're going from God, vertical, to horizontal, to people. And really the last six commandments are blatantly about society, about people, about our involvement with each other. So when he says, fear God and keep his commandments, this is the whole duty of man, he's telling us that we have an obligation to each other. Oh, I believe. That's all that matters. Well, no, wait a minute. I'm called to believe, but I'm also called to belong. Does that make sense? And if I don't belong, I'm not fulfilled. I just get more miserable as life goes on. Because I'm not a part of things. I'm not a part of society. I'm not a part of mankind. You know, the fire goes out, as it were. We lose our passion. We lose our purpose. We lose our destiny. You know, Ecclesiastes 4 chapter, when we went in and talked about that, you got a note here for me, or is that for somebody else? Okay. I just want to make sure. I saw you writing something there. Anyway, we lose our lose our passion. No, I wasn't getting on her. No, are you kidding? I got to go home with her. I'm not going to get on her in front of all y'all. That'd be terrible. That's self-defeat. That's like shooting myself in the foot. Anyway. The Bible says, how can two lie down together and, you know, one lie down together and stay warm, but if two lie down together by the fire, they can stay warm. That makes good sense. I said this Wednesday night that if you want to stay passionate for God, get with other Christians. Because the fire will go out. The fire passion for God and for the Word and for prayer and for being a witness and a light and for the cause of Christ will go out by yourself. I remember going one time, we were going to Lakewood, and we'd gone out with, we helped teach junior high. And I think Joel, when Joel was in junior high, okay? Well, it was April, wasn't it? Yeah. Joel and April, and, you know, they were just kids when we were at Lakewood. Joel Osteen, that just sounds so funny to think about him. He was just such a unassuming guy, just so sweet, and never did a Bible school, Sunday school, always said yes, sir, no, sir, and just the nicest guy. And now he's pastoring a pretty good-sized church. And does okay on television. But anyway, I remember we were out and this we'd camped and we'd had this big fire going. We had a hayride and had a fire going, roasting marshmallows, and whoever was ministering at that time to the youth, and we were there with them, helping them, assisting. He took a stick, and he just kind of pushed the coal out away from the fire. And it was just, he kept talking, he kept ministering, and he was talking about fellowship. And as we talked and as it progressed, that little coal went out. And then he made an object lesson. He looked over at it, and he said, "See this coal? It went out. You know why it went out? Because it's not in the fire with the rest of the coals." And that's what happens to us. Our passion leaves when we get away from it. We not involved with each other. And we say, "Well, I still love God. I still believe in Jesus. I still read my Bible. I still pray." And that's all good and well, and that's wonderful. But see, you're not really doing all God wants you to do. You must get amongst us to grow. I must be amongst you to grow. I must. I need the conflict if that's the case. I need to grow. It shows some things in me I need to work on. I need the opportunity to help you and to bless you and to minister to you because I need to minister. I need to help. I need to reach out. You need to reach out to me. You need to do that. And when we get together, we grow and we stay fired up. Amen? So even those commandments, it's, you know, you need to honor your parents. It's the right thing to do. It doesn't matter if they've done everything right in your life or not. You need to honor your parents. That's a commandment. And the commandments are good. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they do. It doesn't mean you just hang out with them all the time. Maybe it's not, your situation's not that way. I hope you have a good family. I hope you have great parents. I hope you're real close. I hope that's the case. But I know that everybody's not that way. I'm not naive. I know the world we live in. Sometimes we've been hurt in families and so on. But you have to forgive, and you have to honor, and you have to love. Amen. That is the first commandment, the Bible says, with promise. In fact, it says that you may live long on earth. I'm going to honor my parents because I don't want to die early. I'll honor them because God says so, and it's good for me to do that. And you can do that even after they're gone. See, the opposite of that would be dishonor. Let's don't dishonor each other. Let's don't dishonor parents. Let's don't play the victim game. You know, we hear that in our society. If you turn out bad or if you had problems, it's always, "My mama slapped me when I was young," or, you know, something along. Well, you probably need to be slapped, you old wicked thing. But I know I'm making light of sometimes a very serious situation. I know sometimes there are some very definite things that went wrong in families. But still, we have to forgive and we have to go on. Amen. And see, that's fear God, keep His commandments. That's part of the commandments. That's the fifth commandment. The sixth commandment is thou shalt not murder. Well, that makes good sense. Don't kill each other. Hello? Now, He's not talking about wartime. He's not talking about defending your family. In the Hebrew, there's different words for killing. This one's murder with intent, malicious, you know. In the Greek, in the New Testament, same way. There's different words for killing. There are just causes and just wars. And then you do need to defend yourself. And then there's laws about, you know, that we have the death penalty for certain type crimes when a life is involved and a life is taken. But to murder is just to be eat up with it, to go after, maliciously go kill, break in someone's home, kill someone, or someone did something to you, you just go kill them. That's murder. That's wrong. In fact, really, every commandment that has a negative, what He wants you to do is to do the opposite of that. Instead of taking people's life, we ought to be giving life to people. That's right. See that? This makes you a better person. This is our duty. This is our purpose. This is our destiny. My destiny is to make everybody around me the best they can be, to help people reach their dreams and encourage them and build them and lift them and give life and not take life from them. That's right. That's good. I've been anointed to encourage, not discourage, to exhort, not to tear down. Amen. And when I tear down, God's not the one anointing me to do that. I may be anointed, but it's not from God. Hello. I may be fired up, but it's a passion of anger, not the passion of the Lord. And so this is what I'm called to. I have a purpose in this earth. I may not be the pastor of the church. I may not be a Sunday school teacher. I may not be someone that sings or an orchestra. But I have a purpose, and every one of us have a purpose. And our purpose is to love God and to love people. And if you isolate yourself from people, you will be unfulfilled. And you will be miserable. Thank God for church. Man, this is a wonderful opportunity to fulfill those commandments. I love coming in here and not murdering you every Sunday. I've been past, I can honestly say, in 26 years, I haven't killed any of you. Woohoo! That's a good thing. And then, of course, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, what's that all about? It's about being faithful. Do the opposite of that. Be faithful to your mate. That doesn't need a lot of explanation. You know, when you do that, you violate people's trust. You violate, you hurt people. You destroy lives when that happens. God's called us to be faithful to each other. Faithful to your spouse. Faithful, you know, to your husband, to your wife, and so on and so forth. And not to take from someone else. That's what that's doing. You know, which it leads into the eighth commandment, which is, thou shalt not steal. Well, now think about the opposite of that. If I'm not stealing, I ought to be given. My purpose in life is to give to you. Now, there's no, God doesn't say, don't steal and stay in a vacuum. He's saying, don't steal, do the opposite. Amen? Honor your parents, don't dishonor. Make sense? Don't kill, give life. Don't steal, help, give. In fact, I'm thinking of Ephesians 4 chapter, all around the 29th verse. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may give grace to the hearers. If you back up there, it says, let him that stole steal no more. Verse 2 before that. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hand the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Y'all see that? So when I think of that commandment, don't steal, what he's telling me is, you know, I'm not just supposed to stay clean and not rob banks. I'm supposed to do the opposite of that and go out and help people. That's right. I live to give. I live to bless. Now, you know what? I can't do that if I don't know somebody. Yeah. I can't do that if I don't hang around people. If I don't have a people that I'm a part of. My greatest joy in life is helping people. I love giving to people. I love to be able to help someone, you know, whether it's financially or whether it's prayerfully or whatever the case may be. That fulfills me. Doesn't it fulfill you?
Yes.
See, you were made for somebody. You were made for each other. All of us are made for each other. That's what the church is about. That's what the body of Christ is all about. So we're not supposed to steal and we're not supposed to murder and commit adultery and steal. We're not supposed to lie. The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not lie or bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, you know, if it's just you, who cares whether you lied or not? But when somebody else involved, it makes a big difference. I mean, you know you're lying when you're lying to yourself. I mean, you know that. But if you can't keep the commandments unless there's other people involved. It's impossible to keep the commandments without being involved in humanity. We have the idea if we just get out in the nature somewhere, you know, if I just get out on the lake, you know, Dick, nothing wrong with fishing. I know you're a fisherman, and, you know, Dick's healed, too, just had a stent put in Friday. Here he is in church. Praise God. Hallelujah. But, I mean, much as we enjoy fishing, and I got tickled. I was talking to Dick the other day, the day before he went to the hospital, and that I think that morning you'd gone out and gone crappie fishing there at the dock, and he'd gone out there, well, there's some other guys that go out there, and they prayed for him. There were some other guys fishing, and, you know, they knew he was going in, so they just prayed for him right there. And I thought, that's what makes it worth it, is the fellowship. Amen. I mean, there's no sense being a ship by yourself. Fellowship's two fellas in the same ship. Right? And in Dick's case, a boat. But what makes it so good is to go out with people. Reggie, you know, goes fishing with Dick, and they love the fellowship. We had a great time yesterday, just the men going over to Bass Pro Shop. You know what? It wasn't just going to Bass Pro Shop. It was just guys hanging out and, you know, encouraging each other on the ride over there and a ride back. And, of course, Ron, I know, got a buggy full of stuff. I don't know what Betty said when he arrived home, but hello. So if you look at those commandments, this involves other people. Y'all see that? Everybody say
involves other people.
Okay, it's not all just about you. Starts with you. It ends with you because whatever you do to other people is going to help you if it's good. It's going to hurt you if it's wrong. The best thing you can do for you is to go help somebody else. That's what the commandments are about. The commandments are about getting right with God and getting right with others. The commandments are about your relationship to God and your relationship with others. Because you just can't get away from this thing, this others thing. God didn't call us to be a monk. He didn't call us to go out in a monastery somewhere and isolate ourselves and not talk to anybody. He actually called us to do just the opposite. He called us to get out in society, in suffering, sighing, dying humanity, and be a light and be a witness and let our light shine and help. Amen? And that last commandment there, this is all in Exodus 20 if you're looking for the commandments. They're in Exodus, the 20th chapter. The last commandment, of course, is thou shalt not covet. You know, you couldn't covet if you weren't around other people. So even to keep that commandment demands you be around people. Don't covet everybody else's stuff. Just because they have it doesn't mean you have to have it. You know, I just trying to keep up with the Joneses. Well, you know, they may be going broke. You don't ever know how much in hock they may be to have all that stuff. No reflection on our Joneses here in the church, but I'm just saying. Hallelujah. So you see how we're all connected here and how church is so important. I think of Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, even more so as you see the day approaching, the day of the coming of the Lord. We need each other. You know that? I know a lot of people say, well, I don't really need church. Well, the problem with that is that God started the church thing. The church thing is not a man thing. It's a God thing. God's the one that started the church. And we need this opportunity to share our gifts. We need this opportunity to love each other, to grow together, to mature together, to get on down the spiritual road. We are called to each other. You know, I'm just as called to you as I'm called to God. How can you say you love God whom you don't see and you hate your brother whom you do see? That's scripture. That's the Bible says that. So it doesn't mean I always get along with everybody, but I have to love people. In fact, turn with me to Matthew 22. Oh, where's my Bible? Whoa. I usually throw it on that side. That's what it is. Matthew 22. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
I hesitate to say I'm going to let you out early because generally when I do that, I go another 30 minutes. But I'm not going to say anything about that. Matthew 22, notice this. Jesus speaking. 37th verse says, Jesus said to him, you shall love... And what happened? Let's back up. Let's back up a little bit. 34th verse. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, and you know why they were sad? They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were sad, you see. Okay. When he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him, boy, lawyers, don't get me started on that. Anyway, they had him back then. Lawyers been around a long time. Then one of them, a lawyer, God bless lawyers now, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? What's the great commandment? This is awesome. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, he could have quoted the first four commandments that deal with your relationship to God about, you know, having no other gods before you, no graven image, don't take his name in vain, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. But really it boils down to this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Doesn't it? And then he says, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He could have said, well, you need to honor your parents. You don't need to murder. You don't need to commit adultery. You don't need to steal. You don't need to lie. You don't need to covet. But all he said was, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. That's good, isn't it? And you might say, like Tina Turner, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Got to do with it. Love's got everything to do with it. Tina Turner's talking about lust. She wasn't talking about love. Because the love of God has everything to do with it. If we love God, the commandments are no problem, the first four. If we love people, the next six are no problem at all either. Because how could you go out and dishonor your parents if you really love them? How could you kill if you love? How could you steal if you love? How could you commit adultery if you really loved your neighbor and loved your wife or your husband? How could you commit adultery if you really love? When you do those, you're not loving. You can step out of it, but you just stepped out of love because love won't let you do that. How could you lie if you love? How could you covet if you really love? You ought to be rejoicing people that have stuff. Amen? Oh, so-and-so's got this. I got to have it. No. Love. Thank God to have it. We ought to rejoice in people's victories. See, love is how all that works. And that's what Jesus was saying. The commandment, okay, let's fear God, let's keep His commandments. That's how we started there, Ecclesiastes 12 chapter. And then we just went over and talked about Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments, what they are. But Jesus said it real succinctly. I like that. He said it in a nutshell. He said two things you've got to do is love God and love people. I love this because you say, well, how can I do that? I'm trying to do this. I heard a guy say this one time. He's trying to, he had this commandment. He's trying to hold it up and trying to grab this commandment, hold it up and put it on the wall, and it just fell off the wall. And he put this, thou shalt not kill, just fell off the wall and murder. And then he'd have all these thoughts, and he'd fall into sin again, and adultery, try to hang on the wall, just fall off the wall. And you know what he was doing? He was trying to hang up stuff without a rod. You try to keep these commandments without the rod, it all hangs on. You got hangers, you got coats? Just try to put them on the wall. They just fall, don't they? Or go in a closet and just throw them in there. They can be on a hanger and they fall right to the floor. You got to go to the rod that you hang on. What did Jesus say in the next verse? He said, the 39th verse says, the second like that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. 40th verse, for on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Y'all get it? You can't do these commandments if you don't love people. You can't do these commandments if you don't love God. You got a hanger, but you got nothing to hang them on. You're not a robot trying to make them happen. You can't just make it happen. You can't just push buttons and make it happen. You have to really love God. And you have to really cultivate a love for people. You know, the reason to me is because you don't like anybody. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're getting it now, aren't you? Now, think about it. I'll tell you, I go a step further. The reason you don't like anybody, you don't like yourself. You don't even like yourself. You don't like who you are. You don't like the way things turn out. You don't like the way you lose your temper and all that. You know what? You gotta fall in love with Jesus. You gotta get in there and pray and ask God to help you with that thing you call yourself, and ask God to, you know, forgive you and work with you. And you know, as you receive His forgiveness, you're able to forgive more. And as you receive His love, you're able to love more. See, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you don't even like yourself, you can't love your neighbor. But here's the thing. This is our duty. This is what we were made for. This is what we were born to be. This is our destiny. And too many people die and never fulfill their destiny. Because we were born to serve God. We're born to love God and love people. We're born to do it. So when you see yourself isolating yourself and stepping away and going your own way instead of God's way, trying to get away from people and not get involved with people, you better stop. The red light ought to go off. The flag ought to go up. You need to hit your knees and ask God to help you. Help you love people. Help you help people. Because you're doing the best thing you can for you when you're doing that for others. Jesus said it another way. In fact, well, the Bible says another way. Turn to 1 John 3. We'll close this out. We are going to beat the Baptist to the Dairy Queen today. God bless the Baptist. I think of it, just sharing my thoughts, thinking about this. You know, I think the world has a problem sometimes coming to Jesus because they see us and the way we treat each other. And the Bible says, by this they will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And a lot of times you get in church and churches start talking about other churches and dissing other churches and tear down other churches. And you know, how's the world going to know that we're His disciples when all we're doing is picking at each other and we're supposed to be loving one another? I realize we've got a lot of churches in our town that are a little different than ours, but they love Jesus and they're great churches. We're pro-church. Thank God for First Baptist. Thank God for United Methodist. Thank God for First Seminary. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for some great churches in our community. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to love other Christians. I don't know how we're going to love the world if we don't love each other. In fact, if you don't love each other, you're not going to love anybody else. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to love anybody else. And if you don't love the church, you're sure not going to love the world. Amen? Here's what it says here in 1 John 3. This helping you? Because I want to help you. I just want to help you. I'm talking to me just as much as to anybody. Listen, my idea of heaven in my perverted thinking would be off in a cabin somewhere with a bunch of books and just read. And I could be a hermit. I could go off and do that. But you know what? I would not be fulfilled doing that. And I would miss my destiny, my calling doing that. I mean, I love to get off and read and study. But you know what? That has a purpose. My study and my reading has a purpose. And it's to help you, to bless you, because I'm called to you and you're called to me and we're called to each other. You got gifts? You got talents? Hey, what about old Phil Driscoll last week? Wouldn't that have been wonderful in a closet somewhere, him playing that trumpet to himself? I meant that when I said that. I got up there, you know, and after it was all over, and I said, thank God Phil Driscoll got saved. Because he'd still be running around with Joe Cocker. Yeah, he kind of looked like him. But anyway, he ran around. He sang with Joe Cocker and Blood, Sweat, and Tears and all those guys, you know. But thank God, what a blessing. That changed me. That helped me. That blessed me. I mean, you know, he was fulfilling his destiny by being here that Sunday morning. Thank God he got saved. Thank God he got out there and didn't pull off in a hole somewhere. You know, he's had some trials in the last couple of years. Phil's had some setbacks and not even his fault. He'd been wrongly accused and a lot of things went wrong. But you know what? He didn't get bitter. In fact, his son just put a CD out and says, don't get bitter. I thought that was so good. And that was so personal. A lot of people don't realize how personal that album really was. Don't get bitter. You got two choices. You can get bitter or you can get better. I'm going to get better. I like that old song. Not old song. It's a contemporary Christian song. We need to stop here once in a while. Hold up. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. Amen? I mean, we just take the love out of it, see? And then we're just miserable. Hold up. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. I'm going to get down here in a minute, okay? Okay, quit it. Now quit. 1 John 3. Phil Driscoll, last week, you all see what I got here. Okay, we go. No, I ain't got anything like Phil Driscoll. 1 John 3, notice this. 23rd, we're in closing. This is it. Who said yeah, right? Okay. Is Amanda? Okay. Yeah, right. I believe that. Yeah. 23rd verse. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Isn't that good? Man, I love that. Notice how he just throws that in there. Well, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, but do you love one another? Well, I love God. Yeah, but do you love one another? And that... Jesus said it all in the same breath. He said it over there in Matthew 22. Grace commands, love the Lord thy God, all thy strength, all thy heart, all thy might. And, second's like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. On this hangs all the law, the prophets. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's what Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes. But what is that? How do you do that? You love. That's how you do it. You love God and you love people. Now, you got to be around people to do that. Amen. We got to be around. We've got to force ourselves to be around people because it's the best thing for ourselves. We've got to come out of our shell. We've got to come out of our complacency or apathy. We've got to come out of our depression. We've got to come out of, you know, the self-centeredness that we have. This is what we work on as Christians. This is what we have to do. We've got to do this or we'll never fulfill our destiny because we've reached out to our community, reached out to our world. International Outreach Church is better. This is an exciting church. This is a passionate church. People come in here and they just get excited. They think, wow, I didn't know church was like this. Well, you need to rethink church. Church is about people. It's about finding your place. It's about reaching out. It doesn't mean we're all going to be going down the street knocking on doors, but we're going to be doing something. We're going to be reaching out to our neighbors, our friends, the people we work with. We're going to be shining our light. We're going to be being a witness and a light wherever we are. We're going to be excited about Jesus. They see that excitement. They see that passion. It draws people. Amen. But it comes down to love. Love God, love people. Love God and love people. Amen. Hallelujah.